Hey guys, this is our weekly podcast by Cornerstone Church of Ione. We're so glad that you decided to join. We are a church family passionate about seeing people worship Jesus, grow in their faith, and serve those around them. If you would like to learn more about Cornerstone, please visit us at cornerstoneione.org, or you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
We would think through in our mind, what am I afraid of? And I think that's a good place to start. And sometimes we're afraid of things beyond when we should be afraid of them. For instance, I was still afraid of the dark when I was too old for that. I'm in high school taking a BB gun to feed the chickens. That's an issue in high school. I was afraid of the dark. And I remember what I thought even. I remember what the fear was. The fear was that somebody was going to murder me at the chicken coop. Completely unreasonable, but the fear is there. And that's a lot of times how fears work, right? Completely unreasonable, but it's there. This passage, as we look at it within context, which that's good Bible study methods, right? Look at a passage within its context. A little verse, I'll give you an example of this. I've told this before. When I was in the academy, I had one of the instructors was a brother in Christ. So I was super excited. I thought maybe I could be the teacher's pet for the first time in my life or something. And I developed this relationship with them. And we kind of had these side conversations about Jesus. And I kind of like, I guess I did a little bit of testing of him, right? Seeing what he believes exactly. And we're on the same page, super excited about it. We're working out. And it's like typical what you'd expect from a police academy. They push you and push you and push you, try to make you break. If they see you start cracking, everybody gets in your face and yells at you, right? Well, a lot of the, and you guys, I think of the older people, can identify with this, that the 19-year-old struggled with that a little bit more, right? The 20-year-old struggled with that a little bit more. Some of the untraditional students like myself that were 30 in the police academy, we kind of had things under wraps. We saw the game, right? But I'm doing this workout one time, and that instructor walks by, and he says, hey, Philippians 4:13, right, Campbell? He walks by, I'm like, no, completely out of context. You know, it's the verse that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nike puts it on a shoe, and so you're like, I can run faster because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's like out of context, right? The verse makes sense with what he said, except for it's out of context, so it doesn't make sense. This fear being talked about is specific, so we need to know the context of this. It is not an irrational fear, though. He's going to address a real fear all followers of Jesus are going to have, every single one of us. So let's read. Chapter 26. He says, but don't be afraid. Pause. Contextually, what's happening right before this? Why would Jesus then say, don't be afraid? Let's figure that out. It starts out over here where he calls 12 disciples together and he takes his 12 disciples and he sends them out as apostles with a message. Go and tell them the truth that the kingdom of heaven is here. Go proclaim it on the mountaintops and tell everybody about it within this community. Go to this community and do that. He says, don't take these provisions with you. Trust in the provisions I give you. It's going to be a short mission. Don't set up camp. Don't start trying to gain your resources, building your house. You're going to go and you're going to stop in the houses. You're going to share the gospel. You're going to share the good news. You're going to share the gospel. The kingdom of heaven is near. And if they say, you know what, we don't want you here. We don't want this. Instead of fighting and arguing and pulling up archaeological finds and stuff like that, arguing them. Move on. Go find the next person because you need to. There are so many people that need to hear the gospel. The harvest is plentiful. The workers are few. Go. Don't take all these provisions. Don't even take money. Don't take sandals. Don't take slippers. Don't take clothes. Just go. Trust in the provisions of the Lord. And so I imagine thinking, okay, well, I mean, that's tricky, you know, because typically we bring stuff. We already went through that, right? When we travel, we bring a lot of unnecessary stuff, okay? So then we get to the next part here, and Jesus then says that you're going to be taken to jail. You're going to be in court. You're going to not violate a law that should put you in jail, but you will find yourself there. You will find yourself in front of leaders that you must explain yourself. Your brothers are going to turn brothers in. Sons and daughters are going to turn their parents in. People are going to turn on each other to the point of death. Some of you will die in this process. He's explaining the environment they're going into. They're going to be sheep among wolves. So now we're like, don't be afraid. Got it, right? Context. Don't be afraid. It says, but don't be afraid of those who threaten you. For the time is coming when everything that is covered will be revealed, and all that is secret will be made known to all. What I tell you now in the darkness, shout out when daybreak comes. What I whisper in your ear, shout from the housetops for all to hear. 28 again. Don't be afraid of those who kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. What is the price of two sparrows? It's one copper coin. Two sparrows, one copper coin. But not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without the Father knowing. And the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So, verse 31, don't be afraid. You are more valuable than a whole flock of sparrows. So let's walk through this for a second. The context, they're being sent out, sheep among wolves. They'll be in jail. They'll be betrayed. Their life will be at risk. It says, but don't be afraid. So how do we not be afraid? First thing's this. For the time is coming when everything that is covered will be revealed, and all that is secret will be made known to all. What is told in the darkness, shout at daylight. When I whisper in your ear, shout it from the housetops. So the mysteries, the gospel, the truth that we tell people, that we are continually sent out to spread the gospel as part of our mission as followers of Jesus, is to continue to spread the good news in whatever way God has ordained for us to do. That in the end, why not have fear? Is because, number one, that all the truth will be made known someday. And so the intellectuals in the room immediately are like, when is that? Was that when Jesus rose from the dead? Is that when somebody's heart is changed by the power of God? Is that when Jesus returns? I say yes. That there will be a time when every knee will bow. Everyone will know that Jesus is Lord. They will know that there is one King of the universe, one God. It is Yahweh of the Bible. And that will be made known. So do not be afraid. So whether that be when Jesus returns, we know that all will know that he is Lord. What's neat though is I believe that we get to see flickers of that. And that is when somebody who intentionally comes against us as followers of Jesus becomes a follower of Jesus. Everything that they were against now, because of the power of God changing somebody's heart, has been revealed to them. And they repent of their sins and they trust in Jesus. And that is a tremendously small scale, like a drop in the ocean of what will happen in the end times when Jesus returns, when every knee bows. Everything that was whispered in the dark, everything that was shared, every drop of truth will be in the light of day exposed as for what it is. The truth. Ultimate truth of the world and life, humanity and God. Why not be afraid? The first thing is that there will be a day when everybody knows what's true. It goes on to say, don't be afraid. This is verse 28. Don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Now, what's interesting is I think this is huge, because every single one of us fears for our life at some time. Some of you, it's when you're riding in a car with your spouse, you fear for your life. You begin to value your life. And I will say this, I bumped into a car the other day. I backed up and I bumped into a car. I don't remember the last time I've done that. But the whole way home, Emily had all, oh, she's here now. She has all of her jokes. I was just saying that I bumped into a car. The other day I backed up, bumped into it, and there's more to the story I won't share here, but There was a good conversation right after I bumped into the car. And then the whole way home, there's some jokes. But there are times where we authentically fear for our life. Now, I do believe this, that what is being spoken about here is maybe far more than what we understand. And I think that this is an important note to make, that there are Christians living in an area where it is illegal for them to be followers of Jesus. They will be in prison for saying that they're followers of Jesus, and that there are approximately 11 Christians that die every day because of their faith. Not 11 Christians die, but somehow attached to them claiming to have faith in Jesus or being a Christian, they die. 11. So, in one sense, I want to draw out that, like, this verse is huge for some people. They're living this. And for us, I believe that it still has impact for us. We still learn from it. It still changes our life as we look at, like, we shouldn't fear the person that can just hurt our feelings or even hurt our body or even kill the body, because they cannot touch the soul. And that is supposed to, for a follower of Jesus, be something that takes power away from fear in our life. First is this, that there will be a day when the truth is seen as truth for everybody. Every knee will hit the ground when Jesus comes back. And the only way that happens is when they submit to him as king. Secondly, don't fear, they're being sent out, don't fear the person that can kill your body. Because in the big picture, in reality, I think all followers of Jesus would agree, what is far more important is our soul's condition. And they cannot snatch us from the Father's hand. We know that. And so that is, for me, and for us, I believe, that's a perspective change. That's what that is doing. When it speaks about fear, it's a perspective change for us. Because we do fear a little bit. And just to be real, this is real. When we go to work and our employer asks us to do something that is unethical and we have to say no, we fear that, right? Emily and I have known, nice to see you, Liz. Emily and I have known people that have lost multi-million dollar jobs because they're unwilling to do something that's unethical. And it's scary for them. They're on their knees praying before bed over this night after night after night, and they're worried about it. Because there's money attached to it. They have this position they don't want to lose. I think we can relate to that. So just on the part of embarrassment, there's probably situations some of us are in where we can authentically maybe have our bodies hurt by somebody who disagrees with us on the stance of the gospel. I'm sure there are videos on the internet of some kid saying he's a follower of Jesus. I remember Michael Buving telling a story where some kid stopped him on his bike. I can imagine his gangly little self riding down the road. And these kids stop him and they say, "Oh, are you going to that Christian school?" And he says, "Yeah." They punch him in the face and knock him off his bike and say something like, "That's for your Christian school," or something like that. Like, I believe that, like, we're scared now. Like, if we're little Michaels, we're scared now. Our parents are scared for us now. We are scared for our kids now. There's a fear there for our kids. They cannot snatch you from the Father's hand. That is the power of God, not the power of man. Then it goes on to say this, "Do not be afraid." What is the price of two sparrows? I mean, it's common knowledge, right? What do you guys pay? What are you guys paying for sparrows? Penny? Joe's paying a penny. So these sparrows, I did a little research because I'm like, what kind of sparrows are we talking here? I mean, these like finches or what? Like, are they the same thing? I don't even know. So these birds were purchased for food, typically. Okay? So you go and you go to buy, you probably normally wouldn't go to buy one. Okay? If you've seen a sparrow, there's not much there to work with. So you'd buy a flock of sparrows. And then you would go and you'd use them for food or whatever you're going to use them for. And when you went to buy them, they were so invaluable. These living things are so invaluable that to buy one
You almost had to buy two, right? Because the smallest currency got two of them. And we're not cutting pennies in half, so he's like, I got to take two. I mean, they're just so invaluable. That's the point here. They're so invaluable. And then it goes on to say this, though. And this is huge, contextually. This is huge in our lives today. It says, but not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without your Father knowing it. So why not be afraid? Because your Father knows what you're doing. Your Father knows what you're feeling. Your Father knows what He's called you into. In fact, He knows how it ends. In fact, the Bible says we win. Jesus Christ wins. So we're not afraid, because even the most invaluable thing that's a common purchase, and I tried to think of an example, current day, I asked first service, I'm like, hey, help me. What is something that you buy with a penny, but you can't just buy one? And somebody said a gumball. I'm like, what are you, from the 20s? Like, gumballs cost, I'm putting quarters in these things. Like, so I still can't think of it. And the time has passed. Don't yell it out. But just think of whatever that is. So invaluable. And it works better if it's not a gumball. It's a living thing. But not even one of those falls to the ground without the Father knowing it. And I think it's addressing something we fall into, where we believe there's some sort of deistic leaning that we fall into sometimes, where we believe, and in some sense that God has wound up the world, set everything in motion, flicked the planets, and they're all going, and just steps out and says, it ends the way it ends. He does not intervene anymore. The Bible, Christianity, teaches that God is involved in that. That He intervenes, that He changes, that He acts on things. He changes things. There are times where we pray to be released from what would be considered natural consequences of actions, and He delivers us from it. And then there's times He allows us to walk through it, all the while knowing. Right? And that's huge. We have to remember that. If we're stepping into what God has called us into, one thing we have to remember is that He knows what He called us into. He knows what's going on in our minds. He knows our fears. He knows our weaknesses. And in fact, the Bible seems to teach that He loves to use us in our fears. Loves to use us in our weaknesses. But He knows. And it says, so don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. Part of me is like, yes! And part of me is like, well, it's a flock of sparrows. Like, I get the point, but we are more valuable if He knows, not a sparrow hits the ground without us knowing. Imagine a flock of sparrows. God must be super involved. And He's like, you are tremendously more valuable than a flock of them. So He knows. There's no point, I think, I've talked with hundreds of people about this. God doesn't lose sight of you. He doesn't get distracted with something else. That's what we do. And then we project that onto our perfect Father in heaven. What we do is we forget about people. What we do is we send our employees into things and then forget what they're doing and they need help and we miss it. What we do is we forget about our kids' strengths and weaknesses and they fail in something we thought they would succeed in. And now we have to deal with that. Like, we fail in those areas. God doesn't. And we project that onto the Creator of the universe and then act as if that's how God works. And there's a difference. Nobody here would intentionally articulate deism, I don't think. Any follower of Jesus in the room would not articulate that. But sometimes we live like it. And that is far more dangerous. This passage is talking about fear. I initially was going to cover this next passage too. Everyone who acknowledged me publicly here on earth, I'll acknowledge them before the Father in heaven. And after just bunches of conversations and Facebook, I'm like, we need to spend some time on this. We got to get our minds wrapped around what this means, what this acknowledging on earth and in heaven thing is, and really understand this. So that'll be next week, and it'll be fitting with that week as well. So this is talking about being afraid, and this is very specific. This is being afraid of what God has called us in to do. So whether that's, and we've talked about this before, 1 Thessalonians type life, maybe this is people that have been grown in the church and sent to the other side of the world to serve in places that are far more dangerous than this. Maybe these are other people that have taken their families into dangerous parts of the country we live in to serve. Whatever God has called us into,
He's saying, don't be afraid. Okay? And he gives essentially these three reasons. The first is this. They cannot cause you to lose your salvation. They cannot steal that. They cannot touch your soul. The King of the universe can, and that's it. That's what the Bible teaches, and that's the truth. Secondly, the truth will be made known to everyone. There will not be a person that has lived or that has died that will not know that Jesus is King. And third is how valuable you are to the King. And those are all things. Some people think the church needs to hear less of that. That the church really believes they're super valuable in what Matt Chandler calls navel gazers. We just walk around looking at ourselves. I feel great.
I feel good. God must love me.
And we just live our lives like that. And that we need to hear less of that we're valuable to God and more that you're a sinner and you need Jesus. And I'm like, well, I just would like to balance it the way the Bible seems to balance it and talk about both. Because yes, we are all depraved sinners that can't choose good, will never choose what is ultimately good. It takes the power of God to turn our hearts to Him. That we need Jesus, the Old Testament proves, life proves that we need a Savior, and that's Jesus Christ. And He came as a baby in a manger. There's a text I want to read you. I have a friend a while back on Facebook. I mean, he has struggled with illnesses for a while. He's had liver disease since he was 15, Crohn's disease since he was 15. And I worked with this guy up in Washington. He was a pastor. He's 6 years older than me, I think. And we just had a really deep relationship for two reasons. One is we kind of shared our deepest, darkest fears together. And secondly, I had some of the majority of my theological conversations with him. Super smart guy, super nerdy, super fun guy, though. Had a blast with him. Great guy. Actually, some of us here, we went to a conference in L.A.-ish area, and he was with us, and he went there. And anyways, he had moved down to California right before I did, actually. And so we kind of would check in with each other a couple times a year. And so I gave him a call, because he had posted on Facebook that he had a new diagnosis, and it was just shocking. He had cancer on his liver, and he had 6 to 18 months left. I mean, I can't imagine a 38-year-old finding that out. 6 to 18 months left. And so I was going to reply on a comment and be like, bro, so sorry, I'll be praying for you. Dude, I have to fly up and see you. Like, how are you doing, or whatever. I'm like, you know what, I'm not going to do it on Facebook. Okay? I'm not a toddler. I'm going to call this guy, right? I'm going to call him. And so, Wednesday, which is about, I don't know, it was over 2 months after he posted that, I gave him a call, and he didn't pick up, so I left a message, and I shot him a text, and then I was like, typically what I got to do with this guy is I got to Facebook him, because between all three, he's like, those really smart guys are a little absent-minded. That was DJ. And so I sent him a Facebook message. I said, hey, man, and this is Wednesday. Was that 4 or 5 days ago? I said, hey, man, I tried to give you a call today, and your voicemail is full. First service, this did not happen. So I shot you a text. Emily and I were just thinking about you the last couple of days, and I wanted to catch up. I want to check in and see how you're doing. Things are super crazy around here with busyness, and I just realized that life will probably always feel this way. So I just took a minute to give you a call. Anyways, give me a call or shoot me a text message when you can. I'd love to catch up, bro. So I clicked on his profile to see just when he's active so I can make fun of him later. And he had died like 6 weeks after he posted his update that he had 6 to 18 months left. He died in like 6 weeks. And so I pulled over and I called Emily and I told her about it. And I mean, I just had like no idea. And then, you know, my friend was in tremendous pain for weeks and then and died. I never even called him. So the thing about DJ is that he had reason to fear. Not death necessarily, although he had that as well. But he struggled with sins that none of us would want to deal with. And he fought through those things so well. And I worked with people that struggled with the same sins. And one of them I remember told me, he's like, I just can't do it. I'm just going to give up and we'll see where life takes me. Ended up never seeing that guy again. And DJ fought through that. He had reason to fear because he sat in rooms while people made fun of people that struggled with the same sins. He was in the same room with them. And he was a pastor. There's not a lot of room for a pastor to struggle with sin. And he struggled with one that I think a lot of us would have issues with. And he fought and he fought and he fought against it. And that was one thing that I just remembered about him. And that he had plenty to fear there. He had plenty to fear with this impending diagnosis. He really ignored a lot of the medical stuff. He just didn't really want to deal with it too much. But obviously when the pain became excruciating, he had to deal with it. And so I wondered how he finished. So I called his sister and I was like, hey, I never knew, like, I don't know how things ended, and if you're okay with it, I'd like to know. I really apologize, guys. So he was evangelizing in the hospital. He was still serving in churches. He was leading worship 7 days before he died. And then when I asked him, like, what were, like, the moments before? And he had told his mom had came and stayed there. And she had said, he had told her, like, I love you. And told her thank you. And then him and his pastor were reciting the Lord's Prayer. And he died in the middle of it. And so both of these things, Advent and the sermon, fit together with this really well. If I can pull myself together for a minute. DJ had peace, not because he went and he cleared his mind while he stretched. He had peace not because he fixed the relationship with his family. He didn't have peace because of that. DJ was able to finish well because he had peace and that Jesus Christ reconciled him to the Creator. Because he was saved by grace through faith. That's the peace he had. Because we will continue to struggle with cancer. We will still have martyrs. But they cannot snatch us from the Father's hand. And that provides peace.
Thank you for listening to this podcast by Cornerstone Church of Ione. We hope that you found it encouraging and challenging. Please feel free to share this podcast with friends and family, and we will see you all next week.